Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. We're a week away from the draft. What a time. Man, there's so much stuff going on in these Twitter streets about quarterbacks and the rumors the 49ers are going to pick Mac Jones at number three, and people got all kind of issues with our man Justin Fields. Something came out today that he has epilepsy. I don't know if that's a HIPAA violation or what.
Yeah, I heard that too. And I'm looking at it like, yo, what the hell does that have to do with anything? Anything? Because if I'm not mistaken, it was a offensive lineman that had the same issue. I think he played with either the Raiders or the Denver Broncos, but he had the same issue. Yeah. You know, yeah. So, I mean, it's like,
I think it's Alan Faneca.
Yeah. Alan Faneca
came out. He posted a tweet. Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm like, okay, your point is what on this at all? What's the point on that? You know,
he never had a seizure during a game.
Exactly.
Right. So why is it an issue now?
You know why.
We keep saying the same thing over and over, man.
You know why. You know? You know why. So, whatever. They can make it however they want to make it, but, you know, we just going to keep it a buck, as we always do, you know, on the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. But those who can read between the lines, y'all know what the fuck we saying, man. Straight up.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, how a guy can just fall like that, man. It's crazy. It's amazing. You know, who was it? Mel Kiper? Mel Kiper had him going 26th in this mock draft.
Yeah. Ain't that some shit? 26th?
You know, the funny thing about the whole situation is that these teams and even these analysts and some of the draft experts, they knew this, right? And now it's coming out, but it's coming out for a reason. They're coming out and getting ahead of it, like, you know, and then they're trying to put it on Justin Fields, saying that he gave this information, he divulged that information to different teams and things like that. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's much to do about nothing, man. You know, you could look at it and you could figure out, you know, what locker room, what coaching system will be able to help this dude. And then he goes from there. You know what I mean? If they can ingratiate themselves and surround him with what he needs, man, the NFL has unlimited resources, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So whatever treatment he's getting for it now, he'll probably get even better treatment at the NFL level. So I'm not really worried about it in that regard at all.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing about it is this is something that he can outgrow also. So, you know, I mean, it shouldn't be an issue. They're trying to make it an issue. I don't give a damn, because that don't do nothing but help our Bears, to be totally honest. I personally hope that, you know, and again, we spoke about this off air, but the possibility of not having to trade up to number four, because it's not a threat of him being picked by the Atlanta Falcons. So we don't have to trade up to number four. He's not being taken at number five by Cincinnati, and we could possibly trade to number six in order to get Justin Fields. I'd rather take Justin Fields because I feel that he's more ready than Trey Lance. Trey Lance is going to take some time, man. Whoever drafts him, it's going to be a minute before he sees the field. I'm talking about a year, year and a half, you know, probably on some Jordan Love type ordeal. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a minute. But aside from that, I would love to see Justin Fields with the Chicago Bears, man. Hands down, hands down. He plays in Big Ten. He plays in bear weather. He's in the Big Ten in Ohio. So from that whole standpoint, how could you not do, you know what I'm saying? He played against top level elite talent in and out, you know what I'm saying, throughout in the Big Ten. So in all honesty, you want to make good on this and find your quarterback for the future. All right, Matt Nagy, you want to sit up here and you want to cry. You know, you said Mitch didn't have the tools. He didn't have the wherewithal. He didn't have the mental fortitude. He couldn't read defenses. His arm wasn't really that strong, you know, where he could put the ball. He was either overthrowing it. His accuracy wasn't that great. All right. Now you got a tailor-made situation. Now, can you convince Ryan Pace to give up what he was willing to give up for Russell Wilson? Can you convince him to do that in order to make that happen to where you give up 3 ones for a Justin Fields? Because I look at it like this. If you can get away and give up those 3 ones, you have the ability to come away from this draft stacked, because you got the second, third. What, we got 2/4, a fifth?
I think we got no fourths.
No fourths? What we got? It's something where we double up. Is that in the fifth?
I think in the fifth, in the sixth. I think we got a gang of 6-round draft picks.
See what I'm saying?
Like 5 of them or some crazy.
You can come away stacked. And, you know, one of the receivers that I really fell in love with is, what's his name? Jaylion from North Texas. Man, that boy.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
That boy is out cold. Mm-hmm. Out cold. He gives me Tyreek Hill vibes all day, every day. Like a freakish athlete, man. This cat put up ridiculous numbers. He averaged 2 touchdowns per game and only played 7 games. That's nuts. At any level, that's crazy. Crazy, crazy numbers. His production is off the meat racks. And then, you know, I turn on the NFL.com. Well, not NFL.com, but I turn on NFL Network and I see them talking about him right there. And one of the guys like, this is going to be a player that we're going to talk about for a very, very long time. If he's there, yeah, why not? You know, if
it's
he's there,
why not?
Yeah,
a lot of receivers. Yeah,
no doubt.
A lot of receivers. The tackle class deep. You can address all those issues, man.
Yeah, man. Tell me about it. So, you know.
Yeah, if you can come away with a quarterback, a tackle, and a wide receiver, you need some cornerback depth too. But if you can get those three things, man, psh, you ain't like gravy, man. The tackle class is deep. I was looking at the tackles, man. There's going to be tackles all up and down the second round that can start day one, which is rare. So I don't think you really can wait to the third, because I think that's just going to be a run. You know, I always hit the when you go to the second round, there's a run on the position. I think there's going to be a run on a tackle position, into that second round, because there's just so many guys that are just like legit, you know, that are going to be pushed down the board because, you know, people going quarterback crazy. Maybe 5 quarterbacks picked in the first round, you know, got some wide receivers. So the Bears can, man, if they play their cards right, man, they can pull something off, but they also got to have a contingency plan too in case they can't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, it's a lot of cards being played right now, man. It's silly season.
Absolutely. See, the thing is that they have so much from, you know, I posed the question. I said, now, you know, how would fans feel? And this is just, you know, a true gauging of where everybody is at and how they feel. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, imagine if we trade up to 6 and you got, you know, Trey Lance and Justin Fields still there on the board. And now all of a sudden, Seattle wants to do business. Think about that, you know. And my thing is, you know, not saying I'm for it or against it, you know. But the thing is like, shit, you got Russell Wilson staring you right in the face. Because really, that's really what Seattle wanted. They wanted a quarterback to move on to once Russell Wilson is gone. Now, does Russell Wilson give you instant success here in Chicago? Abso-fucking-lutely. Instant success. Instant 10 wins. Instantly. You know, instant 10 wins. Now, you know, and everybody's like, oh, well, Seattle's going to want to offer. Well, Seattle's going to want an overhaul. No, they won't, because I'm going to tell you why. We have leverage. We have so much leverage if we get that number 6 pick. because not only are two mobile quarterbacks on the board, hell, you still got a litany of more quarterbacks that's still there that you could be interested in if you're Seattle. But also, if you're Chicago, you could tell them go fuck yourself if you want to, if you're asking for an overhaul, because I could take this pick and get my quarterback for the future. Now, you either going to trade me Russell Wilson for this number six pick and get the fuck out my life, or I move on with the number six pick and take Justin Fields or take Trey Lance and move on without you. And then you'll deal with the Russell Wilson headache, not only the contract, but you'll also have to deal with the trade allegations and rumors and everything else once the season is over with. And you could possibly, you're not going to get the number six pick for Russell Wilson. You're not going to get nowhere near this come next season. I'm going to tell you why.
That's a tough decision, bro.
Because his contract is coming up. His contract is coming up. He's at the tail end of his contract, so he done already made his money. And it's a lesser cap hit for Seattle, number one. And then number two, what team is really – a team know that you're desperate and you're going to need a quarterback. Even though he's disgruntled and don't want to be there, you're going to need a quarterback. It's a tough decision to make. Do you win now or do you look for the future? But if I'm Chicago, I have leverage. I can either take my pick and draft the quarterback that I want.
I want to see what would y'all do, though? I mean, because all I would offer them, if I had a pick between Justin Fields, he right there on the board, and they call me and say, hey, we got Russ. Because that's all you're getting from me.
That's it. You're not getting nothing
else.
I
wouldn't give you nothing else. And even then, man, that's a tough decision because Russ isn't old, but he's 33. And how old is Justin Fields? 22?
No, yeah. I think he's 21.
21?
Ooh. I think so, yeah.
You the Chicago Bears, you got a chance to get your quarterback for the next 15 years after all this misery we suffered. Or you can get
Russell. Five, six, he's 22. Russ.
22.
He just turned 22. Yeah. March 5th, he turned 22.
Ooh, man. Oh, man.
Ooh.
Now that depends on, like, Russ probably helps
Trey
you
Lance
better.
Is 20. God.
Right now. Man, that's young, dude. Yeah, he needs to sit a whole year. He don't need to see the field.
Damn, I mean, it depends, man, because, you know, you only going to get so much of Khalil Mack. You only going to get, I mean, if you go all in on Russ, that means we trying to win a Super Bowl now.
Yeah, right now.
Now, you know, and go Tampa Bay Buccaneers style. Now. I say, fuck it. I trade it for Russell Wilson. If you willing to offer me, if you willing to offer me Russ for the number six pick, I trade it. Give me Russell Wilson because we trying to win. We've been so deprived without a Super Bowl for so long. We deserve this. So, fuck it. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? You got about 8 to 9 good years out of Russ. What do you got to lose?
Yeah, bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush, what they say, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that would be my take. I trade it. I trade it for Russ and be like, let's go.
That's a tough one, man. I don't know, man. I look at the quarterbacks, and you got five quarterbacks out here, right? There's a consensus of five: Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson. And believe it or not, I'm looking at all these guys, and I've been looking at a lot of tape and watching, you know, games that they played in and things like that. And the analysts and a lot of these people are really nitpicky, right, on these guys. You have to be nitpicky. I get that. But we're talking about so nitpicky that we're trying to elevate or lower somebody. And to me, all of these guys, every single guy has qualities that you want. Every single dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even Zach Wilson, DeVore, even Zach Wilson. What the fuck is that? Even Zach Wilson. No, I mean, he's got some things that you want, right? That you desire from your quarterback position. And I think it's more like the success of these guys, these five guys that are coming to the table, the success of them is going to depend, in my opinion, on where they go. what coaching staff they have, what locker room they have, the talent around them, because I think any of these guys can really do well in the proper situation. So, you know, these teams are nitpicking, and they're nitpicking and nitpicking on these guys. But you got to realize, too, that like Will said, it's silly season, right? So a part of that silly season, in my opinion, is some of these teams throwing shade at some of these guys to get themselves off the hook, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. To make themselves, okay, well, this is we go this way because this guy was lacking this guy was lacking that, or whatever the case may be, even though they're really not. I mean, I'll give you an example. Justin Fields. What I'm getting at is Justin Fields. He was nitpicked for two games. One against Indiana. Indiana played everybody well this year.
Right.
Who did they not play well? They were undefeated for a while, right?
And if if not for their quarterback getting hurt,
and they beat some good teams,
they would have been a serious force.
Exactly. So Indiana was legit. They were a really, really good team. And then he had a tough game against Northwestern, right? Mm-hmm. But he only played six games this year. And even with those two bad games, one game where he threw three interceptions, even with those two bad games lumped into the season, he still was – Mac Jones had the best QBR, and Justin Fields was only 4 points lower than him.
Okay.
So you got to think about it. It's like the dude puts up numbers, and we're nitpicking two games out of last year and this year. And do we need to revisit his stats from last year? From the year previous?
Yeah, where he put up crazy
50
numbers.
Touchdowns or something like that, and three interceptions?
Crazy.
Come
numbers.
On, man. So we're nitpicking two games out of a guy, but we elevate Mac Jones up there, and he's only played, what, 13, 14 games in his career?
Yeah.
To me, that doesn't make sense, man. You know what I mean? So is nitpicking these guys so that you could say that he's lacking in this area or whatever the case may be, so that you kind of get yourself off the hook as a team, in my opinion. And I feel like you have to, whoever you draft, know what those skill sets are for those players, and then you got to build around that player. That's I don't care who the Bears draft. Out of these five guys, take one of them, get one, get your hands on one of them.
Well, I do care. I don't want them to get that motherfucker from Stanford at all.
No, I'm talking about the five. Davis Mills? No, I'm not worried about him at all.
The life of me.
No, I'm just talking about the top five guys. The top five guys. That's what I'm talking
they
about.
They fuck around and get my man from Stanford, I am done. And I'm not playing. Yeah. That's Mitch Trubisky Jr. I'm not doing that.
Mitch had more tape than him.
Tell me about it.
Mitch was a better prospect than him. That dude got
13 starts?
Yeah.
12? Something like that.
And he had less production. Mitch had 13 starts. He at least threw 30 touchdowns. I saw somebody said, whether the Bears pick him at 20. I was like, no, bro. Don't do that.
At all.
You know, Zach Wilson, they, you know, you nitpick, a lot of people nitpick Zach Wilson. I don't know, man. It's just, I feel like these guys all have pretty good talent, man. And you just got to train them. You got to teach them. And a lot of these teams, they don't want the responsibility of teaching these guys.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They don't want that responsibility because they don't really know how. Like, I don't believe Matt Nagy knows how. That's my problem. I feel like whoever we get is going to be a situation, because is Matt Nagy going to ruin him, or is he going to help the dude succeed? That's my question. I can't answer that definitively and say yes. I really can't. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, the jury's out. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I was watching Kurt Warner breaks down tape. I forgot what it's called. It's real good stuff, man, because obviously he's a Hall of Famer, and he played a position. And sometimes he does say this, and even JT O'Sullivan says this. Like, when they point out flaws, they be like, you got to remember, these guys aren't a finished product. So when you point out a flaw, it doesn't mean that this player can't correct it. There's certain things that is hard to correct. You know what I mean? Like a dude's processing, and I heard them explain processing. Like, if they don't really have it, it's hard to get it. But footwork and stuff like that, they can work on that. And then again, like you said, you get a guy like Trey Lance, you got to know he don't have a lot of experience. Remember a lot of the stuff that we were running at the end of last year with Mitch. That's how you're going to have to start him off. You know, you got to bootleg, get him on the edge, and then slowly, progressively get him to the point where he can start, you know, diagnosing coverages and stuff. Whereas Mac Jones, he's better at diagnosing coverages.
Like right now.
Right now.
Right.
But it's not NFL coverages, so that makes you worry. Exactly. Right? Because I'm seeing Kurt Warner saying, yeah, he's this is what he should be seeing, and he's seeing it. But it's college. And once you get in NFL, it's a whole different ball game. So you don't even know if that's going to translate. You know, and he doesn't have the athleticism like Trey Lance, like Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, or Zach Wilson to overcome that. So that's his flaw, is that if he can't process like that in the NFL, he's dead in his tracks. You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing. Everybody got a flaw. Everybody got an issue. I mean, I think the only person who has the probably least amount of flaws is probably Trevor Lawrence. And they came out, you know, he's saying how much he loved football. So now people even poking holes in that, you know.
No, that's not he did that to himself.
He
had everything said. All he had to do was shut his mouth.
Yeah.
But him, his coach, his dad, everybody, and that's another thing, man. I don't. If I had the number one pick, if the Bears were in the number one slot, I'd be hesitant to take Trevor Lawrence. I ain't gonna lie to you.
You see, the Jaguars were saying they was fielding calls, you know, on that number one pick, which means if you was fielding calls, right after he said it, he was like, "Nah, they gonna stick with it." But you know, they did say that they were fielding calls for the number one pick after those comments.
They already gave him the playbook. They already gave him the playbook.
Yeah, see,
he said that they were like, "Oh, Urban Meyer was like, oh, you don't love football."
Here, take this playbook, young man.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's a silly season, man. But like you said, all these guys have talent. Even, you know, even Zach Wilson, you know, he got talent. But he's going to need work, too, because he's young, too. Mm-hmm. He's like 21.
Yeah.
He's 21. You can't throw him to the wolves like that. The Jets might.
I want Trey Lance now, man. He got the same birthday as me, so I'm good with it. Yeah,
So you're throwing a little bias in there.
Yeah, I'm biased now.
Trey Lance season, man.
Straight up. My thing is, though, I mean, I don't think we can wait. And this would be the thing, right? I don't think we can wait if we were to pick up Trey Lance due to the fact of it being such a, you know, if Andy Dalton gets out there and he starts stinking it up, man, you already know how they're going to be in Soldier Field. You already know how Chicago radio is going to be.
Yeah.
They're going to be wanting to get them the hell up out of there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then here you go. Now, you know, even though we got Nick Foles still on the roster.
They don't want to see Nick Foles.
It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be steadfast and hold firm. And if we were to get Trey Lance, you have to let him sit all season. And you would just have to have him pound coverages. Tell me what you're looking at. Tell me this. Tell me that. Tell me that. And have him religiously running the scout team in practice every single week so he can diagnose coverages, know what he's looking at, and be able to dissect that shit. Just like they did with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And it got to the point where Patrick Mahomes was killing the number one defense when he was on the scout team. Now, do we have the wherewithal and would they be patient enough with Trey Lance to throw him, you know what I'm saying, to not throw him out there, to not throw him in the fire so early? I mean, granted, I understand people saying like, look, you throw him out there, better you find out now than later. You know what I'm saying? If he either gonna sink or swim, but how deflating would that be as a franchise knowing that you got somebody out there that's ass that you done put all them picks into to get, and then he flames out and he's out there floundering and you don't have, now you're looking for a coach. As you in the same situation as you was before, you're looking for a coach to bring the best out of Trey Lance instead of having Trey Lance sit and wait and then become the best Trey Lance that he can be. I say go for Justin Fields because Justin Fields is used to that big time environment. You know, I mean, North Dakota State quarterbacks, I mean, the only one we got to look at is Carson Wentz. Granted, I don't know what the hell happened to him. You know, what broke him, what what did him in, what was his demise, whatever, whatnot. However, he is damaged goods and he's a shell of himself and is not what he once was. Me personally, I think it was the NFL caught up to him. That's what it was, you know, and found out what he didn't like to do and, you know, made him do what he don't like to do. And now he stinks. Because, you know, these Colts fans are thinking he's some messiah and going to be the second coming of Andrew Luck. And I'm like, no, bruh, y'all gonna hate this dude. By week six, y'all going to be like, man, get him the fuck out of here. So that's all we got to go off of. You know, there's not a good pedigree. And you could say, oh, and I'm pretty sure people are listening and say, well, there's not a good pedigree from Ohio State quarterbacks. Okay, true. But at the same time, Justin Fields is the truth, man.
But you know what, though? That whole pedigree thing, man, I, you know, you got like Notre Dame is tight ends. They got tight ends galore, and they got offensive linemen like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. You look at somebody like Alabama, they running backs are, you know, they just got a ton of them coming out, right? Texas, they got defensive backs. LSU, they got defensive backs as well. I mean, you got these teams that are or schools that like just churn out certain types of players. I don't think there's any school that just churns out quarterbacks, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when people say that about Ohio State, I'm like, okay, well, how many great quarterbacks have come out of Alabama? How many great quarterbacks have come out of Florida State? You know what I mean?
Right.
That have gone on to do great and wonderful things. You know, it's not like it's not like the running back position or wide receiver where you got five or six guys in the span of 10 years that are just all pros. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the quarterback position, man, it's hard. It's hit or miss, mm-hmm. bro. It's hit or miss. Even in college, it's hit or miss. Those five-star recruits, they go to not do nothing. You know what I mean? A lot of times. So, you know, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I think you just take the best guy that's available, whoever it is. You know, you don't feed into, you know, Cardale Jones sucked, you know, or whatever.
So, yeah, Justin Fields is going to suck.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like saying Matt Barkley sucks, so Sam Darnold's going to suck. And Sam Darnold sucked, the next guy's going to suck.
Yeah.
Everybody at USC.
I mean, when did they start sucking? You know what I mean? Because Carson Palmer was tight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was tight before the injuries. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think Sam Darnold is going to be nice because he has someone that's going to actually work with him and develop him when he gets to Carolina. I truly think the Jets are going to kick themselves in the ass by getting rid of Sam Darnold. I truly think that, in all honesty, because they didn't really give him a true opportunity. They never wanted to work with him, man. And you can see it. They didn't want to work with him. They didn't care to work with him. So, you know, I mean, and he's still young. That's what I can't understand for the life of me. Why don't you stick with him, put some people around him, and then let him play, let him develop? But, you know, I think they're gonna get a bill of damaged goods when they go ahead and draft Zach Wilson. And I'm not coming down on the kid, man. It's just straight up. When I think of Zach Wilson, it's
that music is garbage.
Straight up, up and down.
You know,
man.
The thing that worries me about Zach Wilson is I don't think it's his talent. I think his talent is there, but I think he's too light, man. He's gonna have to put on weight. He's gonna have to put on some major weight. He's not gonna be able to do what he wants to do out there on the field. Them dudes are gonna lay into him. You know what I mean? Because he runs around
New York
a lot. He runs around a lot, right?
Yeah,
but
I think he's going to struggle.
What people forget is that he has surgery on his shoulder, mm-hmm. and he had wrist surgery too,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, he's already got a little bit of injury history, and you know, if
notice that hasn't been brought up during this whole process.
They're not going to bring that up, bro.
They're not going to bring that up.
No, I haven't heard anything brought up about him, honestly, and that's what always makes me upset. You never hear anything.
Yeah,
nothing negative. It's like, oh my God, this guy. And yeah. I watched the breakdowns too, and I'm just like, I see it. And I see he made some throws. I'm seeing Trevor Lawrence make the same throws. I'm seeing Justin Fields make the same throws. I'm seeing Trey Lance make some of the same throws, but he makes it. And it's, oh, my God, that roll out to the left and throw to the right. Kellen Mond did that, bro. Like, Felipe Franks did it. It was, you know, it's like, right. Come on, man. Like, how many times are you going to do that in the season?
Right.
Like, I want to see you consistently, like, complete screen passes, because that's basically what NFL is, you know? You know, it's a screen. I mean, a screen pass, a slant, it's a dig, it's right. an out route. Right. You know,
throw outside the numbers. Can you
throw it outside
get
the numbers.
Ball out there? That's the real test of a strength of an arm. Yeah. Can you get the ball outside the numbers in tight window coverage? I don't care how far you can throw it. You're not going to throw 80-yard passes all day. That's not what you're
rolling to your left.
Like, you may take two or three shots downfield during the game.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's stuff like that, you know, so that's the thing, man. And I just want us to get a good quarterback. Like, every Bears fan, I'm like tired of this, man. And, you know, if you get Trey Lance, I agree with Nez, you got to let him sit. I think that's the reason why you got a guy like Dalton in here, even though he's not a great quarterback. I think you can get through a season with him. It's going to be mediocre. But you're just going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it.
See, what made that Patrick Mahomes thing is they had the luxury of Alex
Smith. Of letting
him
sit.
Was balling.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a luxury, though, because Alex Smith was able – if Alex Smith was out there sucking real bad,
blowing, he had a good year.
They would have wanted to put him in.
I hope the Bears –
he had a good year that year.
I hope the Bears, with Alex Smith retiring, I hope they bring him in as a quarterback's coach and allow him to teach this system, because we know Nagy dumb. We know his dumb ass can't teach. He can teach a dog to sit, and that's just he couldn't train a damn dog, man. You know what I'm saying? So I hope the Bears could bring in Alex Smith as a quarterback's coach if we get one of those young boys, and be like, you get with Alex Smith, stay with him. He's gonna get you ready, and he's gonna get you prepared.
Yeah, I for that, man, I actually have, and this is, and I said this earlier, even when before Nagy said he was gonna take back the play calling, which I wasn't happy about. I have more faith in Laser and Flip to bring a quarterback along than Matt Nagy.
Mm.
And I based this on what they did. Bill Laser was Nick Foles' quarterback coach when he had that magical season at 27-3.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Flip was the quarterback coach when Carson Wentz had the MVP season and Nick Foles won that Super Bowl. He was a QB coach. That's what he's good at. And this year, him and Laser, I think they are the ones who had Matt Nagy smack them around. I don't think they smacked him around because he's the head coach, but convinced him to go back to what he was running with Mitch, and Mitch started having that success at the end of the season. I think that had to do a lot with them. I think Matt Nagy, at least, even though he has an ego, he respects them enough to listen to them. Because I don't think if they weren't around, if Helfrich was around, he'd have been running the same offense that he was running the year before, dude. Because remember 2019, he never changed up. He just kept trying to do the same thing. And this year, at least, they were like, okay, Mitch can't do this. Let's run what Mitch can run. But I don't think that was necessarily Nagy. I think that was more Flip and Laser.
So here's my question then. Because Nagy took play calling back over. You could say that Nagy's going to instill, he's going to put his system back in place, and he's going to run the stuff that he wants to run. Out of the quarterbacks that we have that are there, who do you trust to fit that system? Because obviously Nagy is not a person who's going to tailor his offense to a guy's skill set, right? So now we got to figure out whose skill set matches up with what Nagy wants to do the best?
Here? Currently? Nobody.
Nobody.
No, I'm talking about out of those the quarterbacks that we talk about in the draft.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence, the dude we can't get.
Trevor Lawrence.
You know what? I would say
maybe Justin Fields.
Justin Fields. That's who he fits. He fits what Nagy wants to run to a T perfectly. So, you know, he fits it perfectly. I don't see no other reason why, you know, they got to move up, man. They got to move up. They have to trade up. You got
I was thinking that too. I thought Justin Fields too. And And I thought Justin Fields, and I thought second would be Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And I would say Trey Lance, not so much, because Trey Lance is going to utilize his legs more. Justin Fields is a pocket passer. Yeah. He stays in the pocket. You know, now he can break containment and he can do his thing out there, but for the most part, he's a pocket passer. Mac Jones is a pocket passer.
Man,
he has enough athleticism to get outside and do something with his legs if he needs to. But like Pat Mahomes. Mahomes is a pocket passer.
Yeah, but
he'll get outside every now and then, but not often.
Mac Jones isn't great at throwing on the run. He can move. I was watching Kurt Warner break him down. It was a couple times when he broke contain and he threw the ball and that shit went in the dirt.
Yeah. Dirt balls.
Like it was straight knuckleball in the dirt. So he ain't gonna be like, if you ask him to draw back and just read the defense and throw it, then he can do that. I still see him as, man, I see him as an Eli Manning type. You know, like, I think Dalton even throws on a run better than him. I watched when I was watching both of them, he throws on a run better than him. He's not that great outside. When you break down, but you can deal with Mac Jones. You can live with Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones. He would be my number five pick, though. I'm not gonna lie. I'll pick Lawrence. I'll pick Fields, Zach Wilson, and Lance over him just because of athleticism.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah,
but I'm just looking at it from what I know Nagy to be doing every single year.
He got to change, though, man. You can't
remain.
You can't try to do no, bro.
He's trying to
learn.
I mean, think about it. Mitch was running the ball, and he wanted Mitch to stay in the pocket more. So if you got a Trey Lance out there, and Trey Lance is gonna, I mean, he ran for 1,100 yards one season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he run fools over too.
Yeah, he run people over and all of that. So it's like, you know, Nagy ain't gonna want him doing that. So
my thing is this, and with Trey Lance, you know, he's gonna bring what he did in college. He's gonna bring that to the NFL, and he's gonna try to take on a few linebackers, and then he's gonna learn the hard way. He gonna learn the hard way.
That's a big kid though, man. He's 20 years old, and he, you know, 6'4", 230.
Yeah, but it's a lot. It's a lot of big. Cam Newton learned the hard way.
I was
too.
Gonna say it caught up to
and Cam was 260. You see what I'm saying?
6'6",
260. And
rock solid.
He was learning the hard way. Like, man, I can't take it. I ain't bigger than everybody here.
Nah, they tore his shoulder. Tore up, dude.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He ain't even throwing right now. So that's the risk. Yeah. See, and that's what I like. That's what I like so much about Justin Fields is that he don't take unnecessary hits. He goes down. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He goes down. Yeah. He'll slide. He'll do whatever. He's not going to take that unnecessary hit. That's why I said I want Justin Fields, man. I want him bad. He's perfect for what we do. He's a younger, bigger, faster Russell Wilson. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect for what we do.
My fear, my fear, and we're going to find out, what is it, less than 7 days in the week? Eight
days away.
Mm-hmm. Are the 49ers going to pick him? Because that's my fear. I'm like, with Justin Fields, I'm not even letting my hopes get up until the number three pick. If it's like number three pick, the 49ers select
Mac Jones,
I'm going to be like,
okay,
Ryan
now
Pace,
you got to get up here and get this trade.
I'm calling.
I don't think they're going to take him. I think the 49ers are going to take
Mac Jones. If the 49ers don't take Mac Jones, then they're going to take Trey Lance. Yeah. They're going to take one of them, too.
If you're not taking Justin Fields,
that dude was way too, what's his name, Michael Lombardi? He was way too confident, bro. I guarantee they're not taking Justin Fields.
Did he work with him or something? He worked for the
So Rams. It's like, yeah. And then you take a look at, like, Trey Lance. He's looking close at Trey Lance because that little pro day that he just had, it was closed to pretty much all the media and everything like that. But evidently, Trey Lance was working with one of these guys that Shanahan knows, right?
Yeah.
Quarterback's coach.
Yep.
He was going through and you know, he wanted him to run certain plays to see how he would throw those certain plays. And not only that, but you know, the wide receiver that they had him throwing to was like an ex-49er wide receiver as well. So you do the math there. They're taking a close look at him as close as they can.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, you, I mean, sometimes you never know, man. When that smoke, that's fire. They don't seem to be interested in Justin Fields. So hopefully that's cool. True.
That's cool.
That's cool. And I swear if they pass on him, Ryan Pace, man.
Oh, he drops to 20. If we can get him at 20, I'd be happy.
That ain't happening.
That ain't happening.
But if he drops, you got to be there to get him at 6. You have to be there to get him at 6. You don't think New England is not going to do everything in their power to jump to number 6? You don't think Denver is going to do everything in their power to jump to number 6? They're not willing to mortgage 2 first round picks along with, you know, they're not willing to mortgage that. If you're Ryan Pace, if your job is truly on the line, we going to find out if his job is truly on the line or not.
They're not.
And which I don't, but I don't think so. We're going to find out. Because if your job is really on the line, you will move heaven and earth in order to get Justin Fields, especially at 6 when Miami is telling you, we got 4 picks in the first round. We don't give a shit. We'll drop back. We got 4 picks in this first round. So, I mean, it don't matter where we go. We getting playmakers all over the board. So it don't matter to us. Y'all covet these quarterbacks. So if you willing to give us 2 firsts for this, and we'll move back to 20, and then I got 3 first rounders next year and 3 first rounders the year after, I'll take that in a heartbeat. And I'm still picking 4 times in the first round. I'm still picking 4 times in the first round.
That's crazy, bro. That's insane. So, that's a money ball. That's a money ball right there.
Absolutely.
That's like when the Dallas was trading everybody to get all their first round draft picks to build that super team.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how could you not? They don't give a shit about that number 6 pick. They don't care. One way or the other.
They can get a tackle. They can get Najee. They can still get a wide receiver.
Bro, they going to get everything. They're going to get everything. They have 4 loaded. Picks in the first round.
Loaded.
That is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, they playing with house money.
Bruh, beyond house money. They playing with other people money. Like,
shit. Yeah.
Bet.
Nah, if he falls, you got to get him. You got to get him.
If he falls. You got to get him.
If he doesn't fall, then my second option would be Trey Lance. I'm trying
there you
to get
go.
Trey.
You have to jump up and grab that right there.
Yeah.
You got to jump up and grab that.
Getting traded. In my opinion, I'm letting them sit. I don't care how Dalton plays. Like, you got a baseline of how Dalton plays, right? So you know what he's going to do. He's going to go throw for 3,400 yards, 3,500 yards, 23 touchdowns, 12 picks, 60-something. Just live with it. That's what you're rolling with this year. Because you got the young boy and you got to let him sit. Unless he's ready.
Right.
Unless he's like in practice just schooling people,
right?
You know, making Dalton look like a fool. You put him in. But if he's back there, nah. I think you got to develop him, man. But you got to do something because the second and third rounders don't look appealing, man.
At all.
Davis Mills.
Don't get me started, man.
But bro, I saw somebody said Davis Mills might go. The Bears might pick Davis Mills at 20.
Yeah, I saw that.
I ain't feeling that.
I saw that.
Man.
I ain't feeling that.
I don't know what I would say. Oh, here it is right here. Who wrote this? I know people just trying to get their click, so I ain't mad at them, bro. I know sometimes this is what it's all about. But they said Davis Mills to Chicago Bears in round 1 picking up steam from Shy City Sports. Man.
I don't want
just
that.
Yesterday, Pete Prisco of CBS had the Bears taking Mills number 20 overall. So Pete Prisco did a mock draft and he had the Bears selecting Darius Mills at number 20.
Wow. So check it though. let's say the Bears somehow blunder this whole situation, right? So they're not able to move up. And Lawrence goes, Zach Wilson goes. Let's say number 3 goes, Trey Lance. Somebody moves up to 6, not the Bears, and takes Justin Fields.
Oh.
Now you got Mac Jones left. Do the Bears need to, what do they need to do? Do they need to try to go to 9 or 8 to try to get Mac Jones, or do you just sit and say, man, we out of luck?
Nah, you go get Mac Jones. Fuck. You go get Mac Jones, man. There is nothing that is, look, you go and get Mac Jones. If he there, he's a proven winner. He's a leader. You go and get him. I mean, and let him sit and let him learn. Let him sit and let him learn, you know? And it's, either way, Andy Dalton is going to get his ass beat this season. You going to let him sit there and I'll be like, you going to earn all that 10 mil. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. If you come to the stadium, you're going to start all year. I don't give a damn how they beat the hell out of you. I don't care what's broke. I don't care what's torn. You're gonna
beat me.
Get your ass out there. Suit up. I'm paying you $10 million. You are grossly overpaid. Go out there and get your ass beat. And that's what I'm expecting. And you will love it. You will love it. You will take it and you will love it.
I feel the same way. Straight up. I am immensely prepared to deal with 16, 17 games of Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Straight up. He'd be coming to me. He would come to me and be like, Coach, I think I broke my wrist. I think I'm going to be out next week. And I'll be like, get your ass out there and go play.
Tape it up.
We gave you a pay raise, bro. You were making $2 million last year.
Absolutely.
You had a Mr. Trubisky contract, bro.
Absolutely.
Get out there and earn that money, man.
The hell wrong with you? You better earn all that damn money.
Yeah, man. Dude, it's a drop-off, though. It's a drop-off from those top five to the next. Like, even Kellen Mond probably got the most experience. But that's still parts of his game where I'm like, is he going to be a starting quarterback? Or is he just going to be a cool backup that maybe can spot start? Trask, I don't know what he does good.
He's just big, man.
He's just big.
It's time to stay away from that, too, man.
6'5", 240, 250. He's like Ben Roethlisberger out there.
But he ain't got an arm like Ben, though.
Nah.
He can't take a hit like Ben and stay in the pocket and throw the ball down the field like Ben.
Exactly.
He couldn't beat out Felipe Franks either.
That's true.
The only reason he got the job is because Felipe got hurt.
Lucky him. That's from the school where the coach's wife was kissing players in the mouth, wasn't she?
I think so.
What the fuck was that all about? She was getting off on that shit, bro. I think they was, man, I'm like, bro, who's the head coach at Florida right now? Out there getting cucked, bro. You're getting cucked, man. Like, whoa. You letting the players run your wife, bro? Wow. She kissing them all in the mouth before games. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, okay, and no one finds this as a problem.
It's Florida, bro. Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Out there getting cucked, man, by his teammate, by his players. He probably sit there and watch. Like,
that's jacked
in
up.
The closet,
like,
dude.
Wow, dude. Like, I've never seen that where she's kissing multiple players. These ain't her sons. She's literally kissing them in the mouth.
Yeah.
What the fuck? How is that allowed? How is that being allowed? It's beyond belief to me. I mean, they all line up one by one. Some kisses be longer than others. Okay. And she just plays it like it's like, and everybody just looks at it like, oh, that's such a wholesome thing to do. Yeah. Okay. In what fucking world? Okay. Now I take this back. Now if this was a male coach, and you don't see Gino Auriemma kissing fucking girls on the lips,
man,
before they go to the court, that would be a problem, would it not?
Yeah, major problem.
So why isn't it a problem in Florida? I'm not getting that, man. That's one of the reasons why I don't like trash-ass Trask. Like, you garbage, man. Straight up.
That music is garbage.
hate him.
Wife of University of Florida football coach kisses players. Got a whole video.
That shit is crazy. Straight wild, up, man. She getting these boys off before they go play, bro. Like, what is up with that?
Crazy.
Oh man,
I don't know what's the deal there.
She amped, dog. She be sitting there lined up like she excited for it too. You should have seen when my man Felipe Franks got hurt, bro. She was over there like her man was down, bringing him meals and rubbing his head and letting him lay his head on her lap on the pillow. I'm like, whoa, what the bruh, like what like what's really going on in Florida, man? That's how y'all got some of them recruits, huh? Turn, you pimped your wife out. All right, go ahead then.
That's what it looked like.
Can you imagine being on that team, bro? I'd be like, I ain't lining up for that shit. Fucking kissing you. You ain't my mama. Fuck out of here. Come on, give me some sugar. Hell no. You out your damn mind, lady.
Crazy.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's nothing.
She's grabbing about her neck too. She like grabbing.
Bruh, I'm telling you, it's wild.
She making sure.
It's wild, bruh. You look at that and be like, whoa.
Yeah, old cougar, dude.
Yeah, that's what it is. Letting them young brothers rock her socks right off. Like, man, what the hell?
Oh man,
it's a trip.
Nah, we need to stay away from trash, man.
Man, for real. I could never understand why the last guy, you know, of the network that we was at, I couldn't understand why he was so high on him. Like, why?
Some people remind you of certain players, and I think it's a Big Ben thing. But I'm like, Big Ben had a cannon, man.
Right.
How you just big with no arm?
Yeah, you can't just be big out there for no reason. You know what I'm saying?
He used to throw so many lame ducks up there. For my man, that tight end, what's his name?
Kyle Pitts,
and Tony. He used to throw so many lame ducks up there, knowing they finna get murdered, and they'd go up and go get it, dog. And I'd be like, man, damn. More power to you, bruh.
Yeah, that's all.
I'd have let that shit get picked off. Like, man, I'm making a business decision on that.
He playing with two first round draft picks, man. Both those boys going in the first round. That's why he looks so good.
Straight up. Like, bruh, you know what? Also, though, before you know, we running out of time here, but before we get pressed up against the clock, we got about 8 minutes left. Man, do or did y'all see? And again, this is why I don't like this dude, the Windy City Productions. Right, he's on Twitter and having another throat baby from Eddie Jackson. Saying Eddie Jackson is doing they did Eddie Jackson wrong and Pagano was terrible to put him in that situation. And okay, granted, I understand the scheme was not to Eddie Jackson's suit, right? And it wasn't to his fit. But what does the scheme have to do with Eddie Jackson not tackling and Eddie Jackson getting burnt religiously by tight ends and wide receivers? What did the scheme have to do with that? All of a sudden you don't cover? All of a sudden you don't tackle? I mean, you've been, ever since he signed that contract, he's been regressively worse every year.
I think, man, it's a hard one for me because I feel like, yeah, he could tackle better and yeah, he should be able to cover better. But I knew what Eddie Jackson was in 2018 when he had the great season. I knew what he was. I knew he wasn't a tackler. And I knew he wasn't. I mean, he could cover. I think he slipped a little bit in that area, but for the most part, I think he's just a ball hawk, man. That's what he wants to do. That's what he likes to do. And when you don't allow him to do that, then you know, you take away. It's the same thing as dropping Khalil Mack back in coverage, not letting him do what he's supposed to do. So. You know what I mean? I got a little bit. I understand where the dude's coming from. I think he's just overboard with it, though. I mean, I'm not going to give Eddie Jackson every single pass in the world. But, you know.
I mean, I see.
They got to match him up. My thing is just match him up with a better a hitter at safety. And true enough, we're not even doing that. They're bringing back Gibson, right?
Yeah. So,
You know,
and that was the whole ordeal. So we hope that, you know, Desai, we hope this guy can, you know, develop and turn into whatever, you know, what they thought, whatever they plan on envisioning back there, and hoping it could be Vic Fangio all over again to create so much havoc and whatever pressure up front, whatever.
You gotta have them players, man. You gotta have the right players, though.
You gotta have the right dogs and put them in the right position. Yeah. But for Eddie Jackson, that had nothing to do with you not tackling. That had nothing to do with you making business decisions on tackling. That had nothing to do with you getting smoked by tight ends. I mean, tight ends. Yeah. That Green Bay game, both games, he's getting smoked by Robert tight ends.
Tanya, yeah.
You know, and we ain't gonna bring up the Saints game. Damn, he couldn't cover or didn't want to tackle any. You could literally sit there and watch him come up to hit somebody and then pull up.
But you're trying to just hug him to the ground. But look at his physique. You know, Eddie Jackson is skinny. He's not a hitter, bro.
And I understand that. But Merton Hanks was skinny too. So was Steve Atwater. And Steve Atwater will undress some of the biggest dudes in the NFL. I'm not saying you got to bring the hammer, but goddamn, at least wrap up. If you're not going to pop the shit out of them, at least wrap up and bring them to the ground. It ain't got to be a thudding hit. Just make the tackle.
I agree with you. I'm just, it's hard for me to place the blame on him, because I just look at the coaching staff, and I look at the guys that we brought in for two straight years, bro. They brought in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Mm-hmm.
He's a free safety. You got two free safeties playing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a strong safety. You got to have somebody that comes down into the box.
Yeah.
You got to have that. And they don't have that. They've had this situation for two straight years with Gibson, and now we're about to roll into the third straight year.
Which will be my question. Why would you bring him back?
Because
I think you just needed somebody. I don't think Gibson stops you, because safeties can be picked in the fifth, sixth round, right?
Right.
That's what we got Amos.
Right.
So I don't think he stops you from drafting a safety. And right. I'm pretty sure you got paid the vet minimum, because we don't have no damn money. So you're signing a dude for the vet minimum that could start if you need him to, and if you can't get an upgrade, or you can get an upgrade and you can still, you know, you can cut him, basically.
Well, they better draft one. They better draft one.
But yeah, like, you know, you guys know I love Eddie Jackson, but I know what he is. You know, he ain't a thumper. He ain't never gonna be a thumper. You know, and for his play, I don't make excuses for people. I believe in accountability. If you get burnt, you get burnt, girl. Right. You gotta own that.
Yeah.
But he's better than what he was last year, because he's shown us that. So my demand is you get back to being who you were the first couple of seasons you were in the league. Cause you were tearing it up. We need to get back to that. I know a couple of his pick sixes got taken back, but he's a better player than he was last season. And I demand and expect him to play better now. And if I saw him, I would say the same thing. You're a dog, dude. Just show me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to make excuses for you blowing the coverage. You blew the coverage, you know,
right.
It is what it is.
Right.
I agree with that 100%.
You know what I mean? But, I expect him to play better, but I know he is what he is. He ain't going to be lighting nobody up.
You know, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Which is such a
I had a question for y'all.
All right.
I know I seen Will, Roy, I seen you mention it in a tweet earlier, but Devontae Smith, what y'all think about that?
Oh, about him being skinny?
6 foot, 166 pounds.
And my standpoint on this is, if you can ball, you can ball. It don't matter how much you weigh. Because this guy's out there that's too, you know, built like Greek gods and sorry as fuck and be cut within, you know, I'm saying, man, you know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Built like Greek gods. Yeah. I mean, that shit don't matter.
Kevin White.
Yeah, Kevin White. Look at perfect example. You know what I'm saying? If you can flat out ball, you can ball. It don't matter. One way or the other.
Yeah.
It do not matter. If you can ball, you can ball.
Sean Jackson was skinny as hell. He probably was about 160.
Exactly. Look at
Mooney.
Pinkston.
Look at Mooney.
Remember Pinkston?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Look at Mooney. Mooney about 160.
Yeah, Mooney's 160. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Mooney's shorter too, though.
He's 5'11".
Yeah.
5'11"? By an inch.
Man, that dude Devontae is skinny though, bro.
Yeah, he's skinny and he long. You know what I'm saying? He rangy. But this is the thing, though, right? And this is what I want people to understand and realize about Devontae Smith. He's played in the toughest conference all season. He's been the focal point of his offense all season. He's played against some of the best defenses you can see all season. Damn near pro-style defenses. You see what I'm saying? And he only put up 1,800 yards receiving, 22, 23, 24 touchdowns. And, you know, he set all kind of records, right?
Yeah.
What's going to be the difference in the NFL? That's my question.
He struggle getting all press coverage.
At all. And he runs like a goddamn gazelle. Perfect, because Steve Breston was just as skinny. Came out of Michigan. Steve Breston was just as skinny, and Steve Breston, he rocked with it just fine. You know, he had a successful career, and he ran like a damn gazelle. You know, he played with Arizona, played in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? I think the three wide receivers was Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, and Steve Breston when they played against the Steelers in the Super Bowl. So he's going to be just fine, man. Depending on where he go, which I probably think will probably either be probably be Miami, where he'll probably end up, he's going to be just fine. Just fine. And they're going to turn that boy loose. Because if you can play, you can play. It don't matter the size.
Yeah. For wide receiver, I mean, he's young, dude. People are going to put on weight. For one, that's my first thing. He's going to put on weight. He's going to be NFL. They're going to be, you know, nutrition. You can add weight. Out of all the positions on the football field that probably can be skinny is wide receiver, man.
Absolutely.
This dude ain't coming across, you know, he ain't going across the middle. He's an outside guy. He's a speed guy. He's catching the ball. Yeah, he's going to have to add some weight because eventually, you know, those hits are going to take a toll. Same with Mooney. Mooney's going to have to add some weight eventually. But we ain't talking, like, if he was a linebacker, okay. He's an edge guy, okay. I don't think it's that big of a deal. A guy, his physique, he's been running around, you know, doing all his pro day stuff. He can add 10 pounds quick. You know, it ain't something I'm worried about, to be honest with you.
I feel you. I feel like he's gonna need to add some weight though, man.
Oh,
like,
he'll add it.
That's dangerous, bro. One if he plays, I don't know. They can't let him play slot. Hopefully he play out on the outside. He's big enough, tall enough to play on the outside. So, but if he's running across the middle, man, and some linebackers get a hold of him, 166, bro, cracked, bro.
it happens to the best of them, man. You know what I'm saying? Mooney.
Like you said, we saw Mooney get cracked.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah, they was throwing jump balls to Mooney, too, man. I felt bad for that. Last year?
Yeah.
How many jump balls? I'm like, how you throwing jump balls to the dude, man? Like, he's 5'11", 170 pounds, and you throwing jump balls?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got
getting them blasted, man. I'm like, man.
Yeah, they said he was 176.
176?
Yeah, that's what he said.
For Mooney, so they gave him 10 more pounds, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you know how that goes.
Right.
There you go. You know how that goes. You get a couple inches and get a couple pounds.
Yeah.
It's all good.
We'll see, though. We'll see. I think he'll be all right. I mean, you got like people like Dexter McCluster. He came in. He was like 160, 170.
Yep.
You know? So you got some smaller guys and lightweight guys. They just need to learn how to get down. Get down, stay out of the way. Do the Emmitt Smith, man.
Exactly.
He was a G with it. He always went down.
Yeah.
Never took a hit.
Yeah, man.
Never.
So next week we'll have some draft info.
Absolutely.
We'll actually have some picks, man. Some new players on the team. This thing is going to finally come.
We'll be recording right before the draft.
Yeah, we might. When the draft's over. Draft's over, what, Saturday, Sunday? Yeah. Probably hop on Sunday.
And knock something out for everybody, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
something quick after Sunday so we can take it in what we got.
That'll be dope.
No doubt.
Because it's a roller coaster ride. I want to do it when it's all done because then because what happens is they pick somebody in the first round. And you know who they're picking in the second round. You're upset about who they picked in the first round and it makes sense. So, we'll wait till it's all done and we can bless y'all, man. And,
absolutely.
Then we'll have to dive into some tape.
Absolutely.
Whoever they pick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Getting nervous, fellas. I'm getting nervous myself. I don't know about y'all, but I am.
Oh, I'm extremely nervous. But, you know, we got to we got to trust the process and see what's going on, man. Hopefully they do what they're supposed to do, and we don't get pissed off. And
hold up, you want us to trust Pace and Nagy?
No, we trust the football gods.
Hit that garbage button on that.
We trust the football gods on that, because straight up, trusting Pace and Nagy is...
That music is garbage.
And we definitely ain't rolling like that. So, hey, man. Hell of a show, gentlemen. Hell of a show.
Yeah, man. So, we got Twitters. If you want to follow us on the Twitters, I'm 79, at 79 Ill Will. If you want to follow me, views
I'm
and
at
opinions.
Dan Goodwin III.
If you follow Dan, and I am Nez, N-E-S underscore DV15 at Twitter. Make sure y'all rock with the Three Kings, man.
And check out the Three Kings Twitter account as well. Is the three at three at Three Kings underscore Three Kings.
For sure.
So check that
and
out.
And we also gonna, like I keep telling y'all, I told y'all last week, we definitely gonna have a setup to where y'all can call in to the show, and instead of posting your questions to us on Twitter, you can actually call in to the show and ask us questions while we're live on air. We'll patch you in right here, and you'll be a part of the podcast. Now, don't get to talking crazy, because we can't hit the mute button, and we'll end the call and get you up out of there quickly as possible.
And you'll probably get cursed out, too.
Like a motherfucker. So make sure... You know what I'm saying? We're gonna post the number up, everything. Y'all make sure y'all call in and y'all rock with us, man, for real. That way, you know what I'm saying, y'all voices can be heard too, and what y'all want, you know what I'm saying, what y'all see that's going on, and you know what I'm saying, what your projections are for our Chicago Bears moving forward.
For sure.
Yes, sir.
For sure.
So until next week, you're rocking with the Three Kings of the Midway, and hopefully we have some good news for y'all next week.
Facts.
Until then.
Peace.
Peace.